Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Anything. Jeremiah chapter number 15. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read one verse to you, and then I'm going to back up to the beginning of Jeremiah and kind of walk through the history of what's going on in the book of Jeremiah and bring you into where we're at. The Bible says this in Jeremiah 15, verse number 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Look what he said. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we look into your word. Father, I pray that you'd help us get understanding from it. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd put every word in my mouth that I need to say tonight, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd be uplifted in everything that's said and done. We'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to go back to the beginning of the book of Jeremiah and kind of give you a little bit of the history of what's going on in the book of Jeremiah. When you come to the book of Jeremiah, it was written by a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. You got it right. Jeremiah is the writer of the book of Jeremiah. He lived in the kingdom of Judah and was active from the reign of Josiah until the captivity into Babylon. If you want to read the history of that, you can actually go to 2 Kings 22 through 2 Kings 25 and read the history of the time that Jeremiah is writing the book of Jeremiah. And I want to say this to you. I encourage you when you're reading and studying a passage to go back and study the history of that passage. Just like anything in the Pauline epistles, the biggest part of all of that, you can go back into the book of Acts and to read through the life of Paul in the book of Acts. Anytime I'm studying in Galatians chapter number 6 this week, and you can go back into Acts chapter number 20 and 21, 22 right through there and read the history of Paul in that time frame. But anyway, you can read about what's going on in the time frame here and the reign of Josiah and Judah there in 2 Kings 22 through 25. Jeremiah was a preaching and was a preacher in Jerusalem. And as you study his life out, you'll find that he was preaching in Jerusalem when the city was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Whenever you begin to study the life of Jeremiah and the message of Jeremiah, Jeremiah's words are a wonderful revelation of the love of God for his unfaithful people in unfaithful times. Judah has turned against God, and I'll say more about that in just a minute, but God is still loving to them. And I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful that God is still loving to me when I mess up and I miss the mark. When you study the life of Jeremiah out, you'll find that Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet, as you study his life out and different things about him. Jeremiah's response to the message on judgment, God is fixing to judge Judah, and judgment is fixing to fall on them because of their rebellion against God. Jeremiah's response to the message on judgment was one of dislike. Jeremiah did not like to see the land of the people, the land or the people of Judah, so destroyed as judgment would destroy it. The reason is this: Jeremiah had a love for his land. He loved his land. And can I say something to you tonight? I don't love the way America has become, but I sure love America tonight. And I'll say this in passing, the judgment of God, I believe, has already begun falling on America. Now, I thought about this. I really did. Whenever you study the Word of God, you'll find that there was times that God showed a space of grace in the midst of judgment. And I think about what some of the states are doing now with Roe versus Wade being overturned, and how some of the states are going with that now and standing up for the life of an unborn child, amen. And maybe God's going to show us a little grace, who knows? But judgment is fixing to fall on Judah, and Jeremiah doesn't like that because he loves the land. Consider what the history of Judah was like during Jeremiah's lifetime. Think about this. There was rebellion instead of obedience in Jeremiah's lifetime. The country of Judah and the land of Judah, there was a rebellion instead of obedience. There was reformation instead of repentance. And I thought about this. There was politics instead of principles. There was politics instead of principles. And boy, does that not sound like our country today? Does that not? I'm just being honest with you. That sounds like America today. There's politics instead of principles, and reformation instead of repentance, and rebellion instead of obedience. Jeremiah has a call from God placed on his life to preach to Judah, though, but Jeremiah is doubtful of what God wants him to do. Jeremiah in his mind thinks that he is inadequate to do what God wants him to do. I want to say this to you tonight, and I'm not going to, I'm not planning on just rearing back and preaching to you. I'm planning on teaching more than anything tonight. But I want to say this to you. There'll be times in our life when God wants us to do something, but we'll think within ourselves we are inadequate to do that. Who am I? Moses said that. Whom shall I say sent me? And Moses, I really believe, and I believe we can prove it out of the Bible, had a speech impediment. And he said, man, who am I to go tell Pharaoh to let God's people go? And God said, you just tell him, the I am that I am hath sent thee. And Jeremiah believes probably within himself that he is inadequate, or he's doubtful of what God wants him to do. But in chapter number 1, verses number 4 through 10, watch what God says to Jeremiah. Look with me in chapter number 1. In chapter number 1, and I'm headed somewhere. We're going to go back to chapter 15 in just a minute. But watch this. God responds to Jeremiah in verses number 4 and 5 and says this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, Jeremiah, before you was ever formed in your mother's womb, I had a plan for your life. I had something specific for you to do. Hey, I've got good news tonight. Before you was ever formed in your mother's womb, God had a plan for your life. God had something for you to do. God knew every time you would mess up. God knew every time you would fail Him. Before you was ever even born, He knew that. But God had a plan for your life. I thought about this in verse 4 and 5. There's God's electing grace. There's God's electing grace. What did He say? He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now stay with me right here. God's electing grace was shown to him right here in service. It is not dealing with salvation. Salvation is to everybody. Amen. It is not an elect few that can be saved. God, can I say this? God has elected everybody to be saved. It's up to you whether or not you choose to accept God's gift of salvation. Can I say something else? God's elected everybody to serve Him. You say, well, I can't be a preacher. I understand not everybody's going to be a preacher, but God has a place of service for you. Jeremiah was chosen for his ministry, and Paul likewise was chosen for his ministry. In Galatians 1:15, we see that. God molded natures, or God molded these men as He did all the writers of the Scripture, so their very nature would be best served to give His message message to men in the Bible to verbally inspired Word of God. So we would have that today. God formed them. God made them to serve Him. So there's God's electing grace in verse 4 and 5, but there's God's protecting presence. Look in verse number 6. Now Jeremiah's fixing to start preaching and say judgment's coming. Look what he said in verse number 6. Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Look in verse number 8. "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." You know what he says? He says, look, man, my protecting presence is going to be with you. My protecting presence is going to be with you. When God commissions you to do something, you can take it to the bank, honey. God's protection is going to be with you while you do that. While you do that. I thought about this. He said, "Be not afraid of their faces." Be not afraid of their faces. And you say, why did he put that in the Bible? If you've ever stood and preached or you ever stood and taught, you understand that. Be not afraid of their faces. Because sometimes people looks like they're fixing to kill you. He said, man, don't be afraid of their faces. I remember years ago when I first started preaching, man, I would find a place on the wall, and that's what I would look at while I was preaching. I'd look at my notes and I'd look at that place. It took me for years to ever start looking at people and making eye contact with people while I preached. Let me tell you the reason why. The way some of y'all look. I said y'all sitting in here tonight, the way some of y'all look sometimes. You look like you're about to kill somebody. And you know what he's saying to Jeremiah? He said, hey, Jeremiah, I know you're fixing to bring a message of judgment, but you don't have to be afraid of their faces because I've called you to do this. My grace is going to be sufficient for you to do this, and my presence is going to be protecting you while you do this. Watch God's response to Jeremiah. There's God's electing grace. There's God's protecting presence. But watch this. There's God's effecting word. Look what he said in verse number 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now think about what he just said to it. I'm going to use you to tear it down and build it back up. I'm going to use you to uproot it and plant it back. Boy, I'm telling you, man, whenever you think about the job that Jeremiah has in front of him, he's got a tough job in front of him. Look what he says in verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, now I'm not going to continue reading, but God's effective word. Hear me and hear me well. When God calls you or God sends you or God places you to do something, God is going to give you the words. God is going to give you the help. God is going to give you the strength to be able to do that. We see that in the life of Jeremiah. Let's fast forward to chapter 15. The whole nation's turned against him now. The whole nation's turned against him now in chapter 15. His mama's turned against him. His family's turned against him. All his buddies is turned against him. Everybody's against Jeremiah now. Now, I want to say this to you. Sometimes the preacher life is a very lonely life. It's a very lonely life. Those that, I'm just going to say this in passing, those that you love, those that you stand with in the midnight hour, those that you run to their beck and call anytime they need something and turns their back on you, gets mad at you, falsely accuses you. Jeremiah, man, everybody's turned on him. Everybody's turned on Jeremiah. Look in verse number 10 of chapter 15. I'm headed to verse 16 if we'll get there tonight. I think we will. Look, he said, woe is me. Now somebody say amen right there, because we've all felt that way before. woe is me, he goes on to say, my mother, or woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contentions to the whole earth. I neither lent on usury nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. Think about this by way of introduction. I about said interjection. By way of introduction, think about this. His perspective when we come into chapter 15. His perspective, what is he looking at? He said, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contentions to the whole earth. The minister of the Lord sometimes has a hard time perceiving himself as anything but a troubler, for his message of judgment upsets people, and they do not hesitate to call him a troubler or to blame him. Well, you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. His perspective, but watch this, his purity in verse number 10. Now, I'm headed somewhere studying his purity in verse number 10. He said, I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. To put it very plain and simple, they had no cause of accusing him of evil. They had no right of, and that's what they're doing when we get here. They had no right of doing that. His purity, but watch this, his persecution. Look in verse number 10. Again, yet every one of them doth curse me. Verse number 15 talks about my persecutors. Jeremiah did not win any popularity contest because he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of judgment. His persecution, the historical books of the Bible as well, as this book reveal much mistreatment for the prophets, and not only for the prophets, man, when you go into the New Testament, those men of God in the New Testament, man, John the Baptist was beheaded. Are you with me tonight? Why? Because they stood for what is right. His persecution. So you see, he's living in a time where his perspective is, woe is me, man. He's down in the dumps. He's upset. His purity is this. I know that I'm living right. I know that I'm doing right. And his persecution is this. Everybody's against me. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been at a place in your life where you go, man, I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to walk right. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to exemplify Christ. And it seems everybody hates me. Everybody's against me. That's where Jeremiah's at. But here's what I've said all of that and brought you in to all of that to get right here. I want you to see his passion. Look at his passion. What did the Bible say in verse 17 or verse 16? He said this. He said this, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know what he said? He said, I found a passion in something. And you know what that passion was? That passion was the very word of God. So here's what I want to talk to you about tonight. A passion for the Word of God when everything is going wrong. He had a passion, man, for the Word of God. Watch this as we look at this verse and dissect this verse. There's the pursuit in his passion. Jeremiah, everything's going wrong. There's the pursuit in his passion. What does he say? He said, thy words were found. Thy words were found. Well, whenever I read that, I don't know about you, but here was the first thing that came to my mind. Where'd he lose them at? That's the first thing that came to my mind, Miss Rachel. And you say, well, I didn't read that verse like that. Well, okay, I did, all right? He said something, well, I found it. That means it was lost, evidently. So you know what I done? I went back to the Bible, and I started reading in the Bible. And as I started reading in the Bible and got to looking back in 2 Kings chapter number 22, during the reign of Josiah, you remember I told you in the very beginning of this, the history of Jeremiah's in 2 Kings 22 through 2 Kings 25. Here's what I found out in 2 Kings 22 during the reign of Josiah. the tabernacle was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and they lost the law. You know what he said? He says this, I have been looking for the Word of God. I've been trying to find, that's what that law was, man. They didn't have 66 books like we have right now. And you know what he's saying? He said, man, I'm at a troubled time in my life. Judgment's falling on my nation. I love my nation. God's made me stand up and preach against all of their sin. Everybody's turned their back on me. I've not done wrong. I've tried to live for God, and I can't find the Word of God. So you know what he done? He went to looking for it. Can I say something to you tonight? I know we have a printed page of God's Word tonight, and it is God's Word. It is God on a printed page. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. And it's either verse 14 or verse 16 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's Jesus on, amen. It's Jesus on a printed page tonight. And you know what? I know that we have that. But has there ever been that time where you went to reading your Bible and it seemed that it was nothing more than words on the page? I don't know about anybody else, but I've been there before. And it seemed that it was nothing more than picking up a book and reading a book. Even though it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, what the Bible says about itself, and that quick is alive. That's what that is. And there'll be those times, church, listen to me, when it seems everything's going wrong and everybody's turned against us, and we pick up the Bible and we read the Bible, but it just seems no more than a printed word on a page. It seems that we've lost a word from God. But you know what he said? He said, I will pursue that. But it's because he said this, thy words were found. Thy words were found. It is a pursuit for the Word of God. You will not find the Word unless you're looking for the Word. If we had time, we'd go to 1 Corinthians 3. We don't have time, but if we had time, we'd go to 1 Corinthians 3. And in 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about that carnal person. Now that carnal person don't understand spiritual things, Brother Stan. They don't understand the spiritual things and the meat of God's Word. Let me tell you the reason why they're not pursuing the Word. The way you're going to understand the Word of God is you're going to have to actively pursue the Word of God. He said, I found it. He said, I found it. You'll not find the Word unless you're looking for it. The pursuit of the Word today will involve a study of the Word of God and a regular attendance to God's house, listening to the Word of God be preached to us. Amen. Number one, I see the pursuit in His passion. But number two, watch this. I see the partaking in His passion. I see the partaking in His passions. What did the Bible say again in verse 16? He said this, thy words were found, and I did eat them. I did eat them. Now, I don't think that he picked up the law and took a bite of it. Are you with me? You know what he's saying? He's saying this, I put it into me. Can I just say it that way tonight? If you don't, I put it into me. Listen to me. You can pursue the Word of God all you want to, and I promise you, you will find it, but you're going to have to partake in it. You know, it's one thing to take this Bible and set it in the car and leave it there till the next time, and then whenever we come to church, we pull it back out of the car and we bring it in the church, and we wonder, man, when the preacher reads something and preaches out of it, why we don't understand it. Why, have you been pursuing it during the week? Have you been pursuing it during the week? Have you been partaking of it during the week? After finding comes the feeding. After finding God's Word comes the feeding of God's Word. I want to say something to you tonight, and I'm going to be as transparent as I can be with you, and if you judge me, you just judge me, okay? I have a harder time reading my Bible than I do praying. It's easy to pray. Prayer is not a chore to me. Prayer is not something hard to do to me. Let me tell you the reason why. We can pray anywhere. Man, I ride down the road praying. I ride up the road praying. I ride off the road praying. I prayed last night standing beside a chicken house when a skunk come around the corner and was at the bottom of my feet and Olivia's feet and Caleb's feet back there. And the Lord heard my prayer and turned the skunk and it went the other way and we didn't get sprayed. And I said, hallelujah. You can pray anywhere. I pray sitting in the deer stand. I pray while I'm running. Oh, God, help me get back to the house. I pray while I'm running. Are you with me tonight? You can pray anywhere. Prayer is not hard. A lot of people make it hard, but prayer really isn't hard. But I'm going to be real honest with you. There's never been a time that I woke up and said, and I read all the time. I'm constantly reading or listening to Audible. Man, I love Audible. And I'm doing one of the two constantly. But I've never woke up and went, man, it's a beautiful day to get a book and sit outside and read. No, it's a beautiful day to go get into something. It's a beautiful day to go mess around. It's a beautiful day to go do this or to go do that. I've never woke up on vacation and went, woo, man, I get to go sit outside on the patio and read a book. You say, well, I do. Well, God bless you. I'm glad you do. I have to make myself read the Bible. Judge me if you want to. I have to make me. Let me tell you the reason why. Because I'm carnal. And you're carnal. We're all still of the flesh. Our soul is saved, but our flesh is not saved. And you know what I have to do? I have to make myself not get distracted reading the Bible. Because you know what I'll do? Brother Corey, I'll read. Then said the Lord unto me, through Moses and Samuel, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind cannot be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. You know, I need to go take care of that. He pursued it, but then he partook of it. He put it into himself. And I'm going to tell you something about the Word of God, church. We've got to put it into us. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You say, preacher, what's a practical application of that verse? Here's a practical application of that verse. When you start to sin, the Word of God, boy, I went to one of them Christian schools and they made us learn memory verses, Brother Aaron, and they made us quote them. We had memory verse test, and I don't know if Tina and Matt remembers this. They probably copied off of my paper during Bible class. I copied off of theirs and everything else. But anyway, we had to put the punctuation in the verses when we wrote it. I could always get the verse, but punctuation, and I was going to fail that every time. Best thing that's ever come out for a computer is Grammarly. And it still has to have some more Grammarly done to it when I get done with it. Y'all with me right there? But we had to write those verses. And there's times now, Brother Remington, when I start to do things, and those verses come back to my mind, that the dreaded Don Fellows made me memorize in high school. He was our Bible teacher. He's a great guy. I didn't like him back then. We spent a lot of time together back in those days. But anyway. He was the principal too, just so you know, that's the reason I spent a lot of time with him. We was good friends, man. He let me hang out in his office a lot. He was trying to get me to partake of the Word of God. It's one thing to pursue it, but church, we've got to partake of it. We've got to partake of it. For this physical body to live, I have to feed it. For it to live, I have to feed it. I'm going to tell you something. For my spiritual body to stay in the shape that it needs to be in, you know what I have to do? I have to feed it. He not only pursued, I hope you get what I'm saying. Everything's going wrong, and you know what he says when everything's going wrong? Everybody's turned against him as we brought it in from chapter number 1 in the introduction. He said, I just went to pursuing the Word of God. I just wonder if he went over there in the rubbish, throwing stuff out of the rubbish and looking through. And man, there it was, the pursuit, the partaking. Feeding on the Word of God indicates a passion for the Word. A passion for the Word indicates a passion for the author of the Word. Can I say that again? A passion for the Word indicates a passion for the author of the Word. I thought about this. Preaching the Word today is often like feeding a child vegetables. People do not want the Word in so many cases. They do not want the Word. I see this, the pursuit in the passion, the partaking in the passion, but watch this, the pleasure in the passion, the pleasure in it. What did he say? Again, right there in verse number 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Now watch this, and thy word, I find this interesting. He re-emphasizes that he's talking about the Word right there. The Word is the subject of that. The Word, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy Word, he re-emphasizes to us again right there. It's the Word of God. And thy Word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Thy Word. I see this, the pleasure in the Word. The pleasure in the Word of God. We was on vacation this year. And man, there's two individuals. I think there's two. I think I told my wife, but I may not have even told my wife. I know I told Brother Darrell Cox because we talked about it the next day. We was on vacation this year. And I was laying in the bed about 11 o'clock one night, and I had already dozed off, and I woke up, and man, when I woke up, there was just an unusual satanic oppression. And man, I'm telling you, I thought I was losing my mind. I'm just being honest with you. And I got up, I walked outside, I came back in, I tossed, I tumbled to probably 2 or 3 o'clock that morning. And I'm telling you, I thought if somebody would have wanted to commit me, I would have went. I thought I was losing my mind. And here's what I done, Brother Aaron. I turned the book of Psalms on. That's what I did. I put my earbuds in, AirPods in, whatever them things are called. I put them in my ear. I put them in just as tight as I could get them, and I turned the volume up loud enough where I could hear it good, but I didn't want to wake Leslie up. And I turned that volume up, and I just let it start reading in the book of Psalms. And that it, as it began to read, it went through Psalms 1, Psalms 2, Psalms 3, 4, 5, and the last one I remember was about Psalms 47, or Psalms 48. And by Psalms 47 or Psalms 48, there was a deep settled peace that came over my heart and came over my soul. Let me tell you what happened. There was a pursuit of God's Word. There was a partaking of God's Word. And let me tell you what the result of that was a pleasure from God's Word. There was a pleasure from God's Word. Man, I'm going to tell you something tonight. The Word of God will speak peace to your troubled soul. I'll never forget several years ago, Jimmy Combs was our sheriff. And matter of fact, before he became our sheriff, he was our chief deputy. And he got esophageal cancer. And I'll never forget, I talked to him a lot during that time, and he ended up, the Lord gave him victory over that. He came back to work, and he ended up becoming our sheriff for a couple years. And I'll never forget, we was talking one day, and he told me, he said, Preacher, he said, there would be nights that I couldn't sleep. He said, I'd just lay on the couch there at the house, and he said, I couldn't sleep. He said, I was in pain. He said, the devil was all in my mind, messing with my mind. And he said, I'd just turn on Alexander Sorby. And you that knows the cassettes or the CDs of Bible, Alexander Sorby was well known for reading it. He said, I'd just lights turned him on. And he said, I'd begin to listen to the Word of God. And he said, after just a little bit of time, he said, it seemed like there's a little bit of peace would come over me. The pain would ease off a little bit. And I'd go to sleep and I'd be able to rest a while. And here's what he said. He said, there's just something about the Word of God. There, oh, yes, good neighbor, there's just something about the Word of God. Jeremiah said, man, I'm in a time of turmoil. Seems like everybody's turned against me, but I made a pursuit for the Word of God. He said, when I found it, I went ahead and partook of it. And whenever I partook of it, he said, you know what happened? He said, there was a pleasure inside my soul. There was a pleasure inside my soul. I thought about what Psalms 119:97 said. He said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. If you love the Word of God, you will want to read it, study it, hear it, apply it, and I promise you it will change your life. The pleasure in the passion, the pleasure in the Word of God. There is a pleasure in that tonight. Man, if you understand what I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying. If you don't, you just don't. If you don't, there's just nothing like the Word of God. You say, preacher, it's just a book. It's so much more than that. You say, preacher, it's just printed page. No, it's so much more than that. Let me tell you what changed my life, the Word of God. You say, I thought he was a preacher. You know what he was talking about? The Word of God. Amen. Let me tell you something. Whenever I found my wife, God give me a scripture in the Word of God to confirm that in my heart. Whenever Leslie and I surrendered to Rock of Ages Prison Ministries, let me tell you what, God give me scripture to confirm that in my heart. Whenever we went to Northwood, God gave me scripture to confirm that in my heart. Whenever we come to Amazing Grace, God gave me scripture to confirm that in my heart. God's Word will speak to you. I've said this before and I'll say it again. There's some that disagree with me, and that's all right if they want to. I believe for any major decision in your life, God will give you a Bible verse to confirm that. God will give you, hey, listen, if you're dating and you don't have scripture to confirm who you're dating, you better run and run quick because it's not of God. God will give you, oh, well, we're just dating. You ought not date him if you ain't going to marry him. All the kids back there, so y'all might as well holler amen tonight. It's the Word of God tonight. The pleasure of the Word of God. I thought about this. I'm not going to get done, but I see the pursuit in the passion. I see the partaking in the passion. I see the pleasure in the passion. But watch this. I see the placement from the passion. I am called by the name of the Lord of hosts. Look what he said. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The placement, this speaks of service as well as identification. If you have a passion for the Word of God, God will have a place for you in His service. It goes back to what I just said. The Word of God, there's a placement from the passion. But watch this. There's the purity from the passion. There's the purity. Look in verse 17 now. He said, I set not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. You know what he says to us right there? The purity from the passion. If you love the Word of God, you will not be found in the congregation of those who mock the Word of God. Loving the Word of God will purify you as a saved person. Studying, it'll purify you. Matter of fact, it's very interesting. I read it today. I can't even remember who I was reading after. I've read so many books today, and I didn't wake up this morning and go, hooray, I get to read a book. But I read so many books today looking at this, and one of them talked about how many times Psalms 119 is quoted in the book of Jeremiah. And how many times that it's either quoted verbatimly or is very similar to it. The purity from the passion. You know, Psalms 119 is all about the Word of God. That's what it's about. Matter of fact, over 170 times in Psalms 119, the Word of God, there's a reference to the Word of God. Thy Word, Thy laws, Thy precepts, all throughout Psalms 119, over 170 times. I don't say this to you tonight. The purity from the passion, the Word of God will change your life. The Word of God will change your life. You know what? My standards and my convictions, I back up from the Word of God. I back up from the Word of God. There are some things that people has as a preference. It's a preference. The way some people dresses is a preference. You need to back it up from the Word of God. If it's a conviction, it's from the Word of God. They some hills that I'll die on, there are some that I won't. Those that is a conviction backed up strictly by the Word of God, I'll die on that hill. But preferences, man, I'm not going to argue with you over it. We can pick apart for a woman to adorn herself in modest apparel. All you want to pick it apart. But I'm going to tell you something. If a woman's sitting in open bleachers, you tell me what's modest and what's not. Well, bless God, I'm not going to open. Well, God bless you, okay? The Word of God, man, I'm telling you, it will change your life. Watch this. Tina, come start playing. Watch this, if you don't mind, please, ma'am. Sound pretty authoritative right then, didn't it? The popularity of the passion. Now watch this, verse 17. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. He said, I sat alone. See, when I said popularity, you probably thought, boy, the preacher's going to say, if I love the Word of God, everybody's going to love me and everybody's going to like me and everybody's going to be my bet. No, you stand with the Word of God and there's going to be a lot of times you're going to sit alone. There's going to be a lot of times that you have to push yourself away from people because they're not living. Hey, look, if they're pulling you away from the church and the church is having church, you need to settle on. You need to settle on. The popularity of the passion was this, I settle on. But I'll never forget what my pastor said years ago. He said, you and God is a majority any time, any place, against any number. Because he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, Jeremiah, and I am not correcting the Word of God, you know that. Jeremiah may have felt that he was alone, but if we go back to chapter number 1 in the introduction, you remember what God told him. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take care of you. Amen. The passion for the Word of God tonight. Jeremiah said, I found it. He was searching for it here. He's searching for it. He said, I found it. And when I found it, I eat it. He said, I put it into my body. I'll tell you something tonight. You pursue the Word of God. You partake of the Word of God. It'll change your life tonight. I promise you that. Father is...